The double-crested cormorant has left a trail of controversy through years of research on their feeding habits from northern Lake Huron to the eastern end of Lake Ontario. Anglers have long complained that the birds are taking more than their share of the fish. In 1995, in response to concerns that cormorants were eating too many yellow perch, Michigan officials conducted a study to determine the birds' impact on the fish population. The research concluded that cormorant predation was having a minimal impact on local perch numbers, and the birds were left alone. John Trapp is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Office of Migratory Bird Management. He says New York's plan is the first time a state has considered a widespread lethal control program to reduce cormorant numbers and their effects on sport fish.
Certainly, they studied the situation carefully before they approached the Fish and Wildlife Service with this proposal, and they feel these sorts of drastic actions are called for because of the apparent impact that cormorants are having on smallmouth bass in particular.
Last December, the New York Department of Environmental Conservation pledged to come up with a plan to reduce cormorant numbers after a study showed the birds are having an impact on the smallmouth bass fishery. The report says cormorants devoured 1.3 million fish in 1998 alone. But those lethal control alternatives have some environmentalists worried. William Cook is director of government relations for the New York chapter of the National Audubon Society.
Before the National Audubon Society would be supportive or even tolerant of bird management on this level, we would have to be really convinced that there was a direct, absolute correlation between those birds and the population of those birds and the impact on the bass population, because there's a lot of other things you could look at.
Cook says the DEC should consider an environmental impact study before any management decisions are made. That would probably mean any cormorant control options would have to wait until next year. But DEC spokesman Steve Littweiler says the department would like to have a management plan approved in time for the 1999 fishing season. Because the cormorants are protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, Littweiler says any plan that involves killing the birds must be approved by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and would likely involve discussions with Canadian wildlife officials.
Our five-year experimental plan here does address the entire ecology of the eastern basin of Lake Ontario. The other parts of our goal, in addition to restoring some of the structure and function of the warm water fish community, would also be to reduce the negative impacts that the double-crested cormorants are having on the nesting habitats of other colonial water nesting birds.
The Audubon Society realizes an overly large population of cormorants may be hurting the region's fisheries and economy, but William Cook says sound science and a well-thought-out management plan should prevail.
What some people are proposing is, in my opinion, a real stretch. I mean, it's one thing to go on to the island where they nest and look at managing the population by disrupting some of the nests or something like that, but there's such a wide range of potential action that can be as little as disrupting 5% of the nests all the way up to 80% of them gone. You know, National Audubon Society, we look at conservation through good science, good education, and good advocacy, but science should be what drives this.
The DEC presented its objectives and management alternatives to some environmental groups and the New York Coalition of Great Lakes legislators last month. Lawmakers such as New York Congressman John McHugh are urging federal officials to approve a management policy on cormorants this spring. DEC officials will be soliciting input from the public at a variety of meetings and events throughout the month of March. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Todd Moe in Canton, New York.